Blog Talk Radio.
I'm unbreakable, can't break what's broken. Gonna shoot the sunroof's open. Let it shine on me, let
can't
it rain on down.
Broken.
I'm on my
yeah.
way, you hear the sound.
Can't stop my vibe, I'm on that new shit. Wanna rule the world, gonna run out through shit. If you ain't on my team, then get out my zone. You ain't feeling me, now's the time to get out of my home.
One truth and I'm back for y'all. Back in the studio, back on the grind.
mind. I'm living every minute trying to nurse another line. Does this rhyme with that? No, it doesn't give a scratch. Add this instead of that, now you got another track. Back in the backstage waiting to perform, working on the words, words waiting to be born. Worm from the swarm of fans waiting for your turn. Freeing in my head, that's the cry for the storm. Back in the battle, raps tracks like my stars, and my raps like the battle axe, rap for the stars. Every word is ammunition, and I'm spitting, hitting hard. Written, kicking, vicious systems, sticking, rippers, pick apart. Sacrifice is my ambition, and my reason on this earth. Grab a mic, it's my religion, and the beat is my church. Verses are my sermons, and my service is a prayer, and my prayers are getting answered every day that I'm here. This is my life, and I'm doing what I please. I'ma write these lines, I'ma spit these freeze. One mic, one pen, headphones and all. One goof, one truth, and I'm back for y'all. This is hip-hop, it's the essence of my soul. The reason that I'm here, the reason that I go. One mic, one pen, headphones and all. One goof, one truth, and I'm back for y'all. Back for the fans, fam, damn, I never leave. Back for the late nights, right until I sleep. Back for the line that I never got to write, because I didn't have a pen when it came into my sight. Back for the pen, back for the pad, and I'm back for every opportunity I never had. Back for the gift that I will never waste, or mistakes that I take to the grave when I break. Back for the squad, back for the fam. Back for cardiac, tragic in the camp. Back for Stitcher Magic, wisdom in the fam. And every fan that believed in me, I never gave a chance. Back for the love, for the craft that I hold. For the fire that's within and the ice that is cold. Back for my boys, and I'm back for their life. And I'm back for a promise that I made to my wife. This is my life, and I'm doing what I please. I'ma write these lines, I'ma spit these freeze. One mic, one pen, headphones and all. One goof, one truth, and I'm back for y'all. This is hip-hop, it's the essence of my soul. The reason that I'm here, the reason that I go. One mic, one pen, headphones and all. One booth, one truth, and I'm back for y'all.
Yeah, Last Rip, Cata B, Miss Smith and Envy, for the little 9, y'all. Yeah, check this out. Yeah, Triceptus Studios. Check it. Yeah, yeah. Yo, chillin' in the club, toastin' it up, having some fun, just enjoying the love. I saw you walking by, looking all upset. That was a cue for me, just the end of the set. To take you from your low, bring you to your high. Tell you positive things like how you so fly. After the club, meet me at the ride. We'll go to the beach, count the stars in the sky. In the meantime, tell me about your nine. You're the finest thing that's dressing all wide. Clothes you got on is a major turn on. Me looking at your mind is an instant dawn on. Yeah, God, it's the way how you touching me. Sending me a vibe right through my body. You're so attractive and I'm so addictive. Yeah, that's something different, I'm dying to get with it.
I like the way you always touching on me. I like the way you put chills on my body. I like the way you always on my mind. I like the way how you do it every time. You just make me feel real.
That's a primetime player. Used to chew girls up like now and later. Used to have 10 shorties all up in the jazz. Used to bang them all out like they never really had. I was going buck wild, I really didn't care. Had the blinged up loops plus the lined up hair. So fresh, so clean, y'all can help to stare. Living like Liberace with rockets to spare. Till I saw you, you opened up my eyes. The way you showed me love, it was death a surprise. Never ever met a girl who kept it so right. Never ever met a girl who matched my left or right. Now it's just me and you, let's play one. One-on-one. What we playing for, she said. I said for your heart. Accept the invitation, let's have some fun. From the nighttime sky to the early morning sunlight.
How can I approach you on this? You make my whole heart to flip. When you're near me, I get chills. Without you around, I'm going ill. I'd probably die if you were mine. Book you for murder, you're a crime. Looking in your eyes, I feel I'm fine. But do this now, don't waste no time. Ha, ha, ooh, ah.
Hello, and good Sunday afternoon. It's Shelly Nunchuck from the Shelly Nunchuck Show, and I'm actually doing a couple things here and there. I'm posting stuff in my picture album, my weird album, and my dreamers album. Let's see. I'm trying to repost something here. Where is it? What do people don't know? My radio show is, I do 50 million things. Waha! Where is my link? I posted so many things on my Facebook wall. Like, where's my link? I don't know where my link is for my my page here for my show. So let me see. I'm trying to find it. I'm going down a list of things, some charities and foundations. So I'm looking here to see, where is it? I'm trying to put down, I thought I did when I set it up. I thought I actually did post it to my wall, and it's not showing up. So I'm going to have to repost it, and I'm bringing that up now. My site, I have to go back. I have to open up a couple of windows to actually get to it. So let me get back. And, of course, you have to keep, you know, it's like opening up a book. You have to keep opening up pages on the Internet. So that's what I'm actually doing right now. And I'm going to post it to my wall. And give me one moment. And, of course, they got all these ads and everything popping up on the Blog Talk Radio. And I'm posting this right to my wall. I'm posting right now. And I'm going to post this to a couple of people's wall, too. Hold on, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. I'm going to post this on a friend's wall, live on the air now. And you can click the link. Click the link. Sooner or later, I'm going to end up working with my toes. I'm holding the phone in one hand and click the link and listen. Okay, so I just shared that on a couple of walls right there. So, all righty. What I'm doing today, actually testing the radio show because Wednesday night, why I don't have a guest on my show today is because Wednesday night I actually did have a little bit of issue. I don't know what happened, so I'm just trying to make sure that the show will go as smoothly as it can because I went to call in and it wouldn't let me call in as the show was live 15 minutes on the air. So there I was, and thank goodness, you know, tech people, they're really fast when you're able to get a hold of them. Sometimes Sundays you can't really get a hold of them, but thank goodness they were pretty fast with that. So I just want to type in here, welcome in the chat room. That's pretty much popped up. Welcome all to Ninja Sunday. And I got my little furball co-host, Jackie Chan Kitty. She's napping in. Little Rocky Balboa, the little stinker. I'm telling you, the best thing, if you have a cat, the best thing to get is a laser pointer. Oh, my gosh. You can have them, like, run like there's no tomorrow. Like, there's absolutely no tomorrow. And I swear, kittens have got, like, gnaws up their asses or something like that. And they'll run out of the gnaws, and they'll just pass out after a while using a laser pointer. Well, there is a couple of foundations I wanted to bring up. And I'm actually going to the one, like I said, I post so many tons of stuff on my pages. Even I annoy myself. Going down to the bottom of it. Where is that foundation? The very first one. It says Give Forward. Sometimes on my Facebook page, I actually do see other things from friends on Facebook, and this one's called Give Forward. You can go there, and it actually is a fundraiser and looking to see medical expenses. And this one here that I'm looking on, where you actually go to the page, it's called Give Forward Inc. I think that's where you can look it up. And this one that I actually did caught my eye, it says Moni's Medical Expenses Fund. And now I do have a Boston accent, and I talk funny sometimes, so sometimes I like to spell it so you'll be able to find it. It's on Give Forward, it's Moni's, M as in Michael, O-N-N as Nancy, I-S, Medical Expense Fund. And the Moni's Medical Expense Fund, when you scroll down, it looks like it says only $210 of the $20,000. It has 8 donations, and it's 42 days left. I myself, I look at this young girl, and she looks, She could be possibly early 20s. And we all know what medical expenses. I mean, this girl, I don't know if she's like bedridden and stuff, but she cannot work. And believe me, I know in my early 20s, I went through so many tests. I thought, you know, they thought I had cancer. I almost died from my stomach disorder that I had. And I had to go through all this just to find out, you know, going here, and I just feel really bad. And it's really a shame that medical, I mean, this is stuff that you need, you know, tests and everything like that. It should actually be free. I know everybody's going to think I'm crazy or whatever, but I think with tests like this, especially if people don't have the money, they shouldn't even be charged. But what am I to say? I'm not a, you know, I'm not a lawyer or no, I'm not a business person or anything, but with what this says, when you go there and you can actually share it to your Facebook and support it, it says helping raise money for all of Moni's medical expenses. And this is the actual page where I'm getting the information off. It says, Moni has been sick for over 4 months. 6 trips to the emergency room, a handful of doctor's visits and tests that resulted in a debt that is piling and still no answers. This is what I'm talking about, medical expenses. No one should have to go through this alone. No one should have to at all. Shortly after Moni became sick, she had to quit her job due to being bed-bound because of nausea and dizziness. Blood work, x-rays, CAT scans, and EKGs all come back normal. 3 months into Moni's being sick, things were getting worse, and she has not been able to eat, which has resulted in drastic weight loss, and now has an irregular heart rate, can exceed over 140 at times. Moni has finally been referred to a GI specialist, and we have an endoscopy, it's ENDOSCOPY done in hopes to find out what exactly is going on. Just to interrupt this, I know exactly what that is, endoscopy, and no, I can't pronounce it. I've had it done, and what the procedure is, in case you people that don't know, they can either, you know, they take this long scope, it looks like a long, it's not a rope, but it's this long, long tube, and it's a camera. And what they do is they clean the, and you have to, before getting this done, this procedure, and how I know about it is I've had this done before, too. They make you clean out the night before. You can't eat or nothing like that. You can have, only have certain things before this procedure is done. Sometimes they'll go up through your rectum. And for me, believe me, it was nothing. I mean, people say that after you have this procedure done, you can actually get up and go to work. But when I had it done, I was so sick afterwards because I was so dehydrated just to try to get this done because it flushes all your fluid, everything out in your system before you have this procedure done the next day. So you drink this stuff and it flushes out. At first, when you're drinking this stuff, it's really, you know, it doesn't work, seem to work at first. But then you're sitting on a toilet bowl and it flushes your stuff out. I don't know if she had it done, you know, if she's going to have it done through a rectum or if they're going to go down. I'll probably read this more to find out. But the one that goes up through your rectum, you have everything flushed out. Oh, it's so terrible. And you're sitting on the toilet bowl for hours to get this flushed out. So then what they do is when you're in there, you're laying on your left side because that's where it's going to go through your rectum, the scope, and it goes all the way up through you. They kind of knock you out, so they have this camera that the doctors are looking at. And for me, because my insides were swollen from my irritable bowel syndrome, they had to check, and they thought I had all the cancer stuff, so I know exactly what this examination is, and it's not a pleasant examination to anybody that had it done. And what's going on is going through this, it says, with having no job, and not being eligible for state help, which I cannot believe, this poor girl. If you're not working, how are you not eligible for state help? You know, I read this quickly before the show because, like I said, this, how is it, if she's not working, how is she not eligible for state help? I do not get this. I do not get this at all. And if you're not working, aren't you supposed to get state aid and free medical? It says she is now over $15,000 in debt and that is not continuing future tests and doctor's visits. I don't understand that. I do not understand. How is she not eligible for state help if she's not working and she's bedridden? Do not get that at all. Any help would be greatly appreciated and would be going directly towards paying off various hospital bills. And this says here, hospital visits so far. It says February 11, 2014, emergency room, urine sample taken, diagnosed with gastroenteritis. Testing came back normal, sent home and told to see a doctor for the last more than a few weeks. It really, I mean, for what's going here, all the tests that she's done, it sounds like stuff that I've gone through. These tests really sound familiar, where she keeps going back. If you go to the site, like it says, go Give Forward Inc., from what I'm looking, all these tests that she's going through and going to the emergency, if she's not keeping food down. I'm not a doctor, but this just seems like stuff that I've gone through my whole life. If she's sick and dehydrated and you have to get an IV, this is exactly something that I've gone through myself. I think she was also hooked up to some IVs for this, so it's just going on, and it does this does bring back memories of what I've been through. This is, you know, going to emergency room, urine sample taken, all these things. Doctor visits April 18th, doctor visits with the doctor, informally to go to the emergency room, to the symptoms getting worse. See, what they're going to do is keep sending her to the emergency room. You know what? That's gonna increase her bills. It's going to increase her bills even more. And she's not working due to being this sick. And see, this is what gets me mad about here in America, ladies and gentlemen. It really, really does. People that really are sick, and this is documentation. This is proof. This is all documentation that this young girl needs help. And all these bills are racking up. And how is she going to pay for it? I do not understand how people can pay for medical expenses if they're sick and they're not working and they're like kind of bedridden. She's dehydrated. So I do not get how she's going to be charged for this. I just don't get that. I just don't get it. And it's like I said before, the reading about February 11th, it's $15,000 in debt for medical expenses. This is unbelievable. And then going down here, it says bad reaction with nausea, medicine given. See, do you understand what I'm saying about medications? Medication should be giving something for you to help you make you feel better, but sometimes I swear, I'm not a doctor, I can't say anything, but, you know, I'm not in the medical field, but if something is making you sick, well, why do you take it in the first place? You got nauseated by taking the medication. I just don't, taking off nausea meds and sent home. And then it says April 22nd, emergency room blood and urine samples taken along with a CAT scan of the abdomen. All tests come back normal. Having more pains in the abdomen. This is stomach disorders. From what I'm reading, because the tests that I've gone through, it seems like this poor girl could have a stomach disorder. And it says weak period on the antibiotic due to losing weight due to not being able to eat. Immense pains in the upper abdomen. And this going on May 5th, blood and urine samples, and she's going back, actually, you know, this is really hard. This is a young girl. Like I said, if you look at a picture, she looks like she's in her early 20s. I don't know how old this girl is, but all this, that's racking up. And if, like I said, if you go to the page, it says her medical expense fund of $20,000 was only $210. This is in America, you know, and, like, when people are really sick, you know, I don't get how she's not able to get any aid whatsoever if she's not working. I mean, she's really sick. This is the truth right here. She's documentation of her not feeling well and going to the doctors, the emergency ward. So I just don't get that. I really don't. You know, here in America, you think on medical, it would be free. Who am I to say? Who am I to say? And this is why people end up, because they can't even pay their medical bills. It's really, really irritating. Really, really irritating to me. I don't know if this young girl can try other alternatives. I can't give any medical advice. I'm not a doctor, but this is what I'm saying about alternative medications and such. Well, not medications, but alternative things to find out about, you know, like acupuncture. Okay, the medications, I guess, they're trying to give to her is not working and making her sick. So she's having an allergic reaction. More than likely, it just seems like what this poor girl is going through, I don't know, maybe she's under stress. I think it's possible maybe she's under a lot of stress, and that can make you sick. It can really make you sick, stress, and it can help hurt you internally. And this is stuff that I just look at her, and I feel so bad, and I want to hug her. And I want to cry because, you know, she's sitting there, and it looks like there's a picture of her laying in a gurney. What is it called that you put on when you're in bed in the hospital? Because you can tell the thing that she's wearing, it's one of those things where you know, the back is open. So maybe she was having a procedure the day this was taken, and you just want to hug her. You just look at the picture of Moni's picture, and you really want to hug her because she's so young. No one so young should have to go through these things. These examinations, you shouldn't even have to go through your 50s. And I know, like I said, I know what they are because I've had suffered from stomach disorders my whole life, and she's really young, really very young. It's 42 days left to go on this. And if anybody can please check out, I mean, anything help, you know, it just go to Give Forward, G-I-V-E, Forward, F-O-R-W-A-R-D. A reason why I spell it out, because I have this funky Boston accent. So please check that out on Give Forward, Inc., Moni, M-O-N-I, apostrophe S, Medical Expense Fund. And I'm actually going to share it on my page once again on Facebook. And I'm posting this right now. And as I'm posting this, my cat wants to be Rocky Balboa. He's just, like, climbing over a thing. And I'm like, I'm so glad I have the laser pointer. Oh, gosh. Facebook Connect. Oh, gosh. Okay, here we go. I'm trying to post this on my Facebook. Give me one moment. I'm waiting to see if this is going to actually post on my Facebook. Okay, I guess it wants me to actually post something on here. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to play some music. I'll come back after a couple of songs. But check that out and Give Forward, Inc., Moni's Medical Expense. And you can all, like, give her a little hug. I guess if you post this to your Facebook wall, you're actually going to be able to leave her a little note of encouragement. And if you, anybody that wants to, you know, donate. Whatever can will definitely help with this young lady. So what I'm going to do is Found My Way by Kodak, and I'll be back after a couple of songs.
Atomic Beast.
Telling me how to feel, I got a real body girl, so I'm done with the feel. Ex-jock, but I still jock her. I ain't ashamed, I'm kinda proud, she's my doctor. She fixed my heart when I couldn't get a beat to start. Without her, I wouldn't have a beating heart. It's unexplainable, baby, take my words apart. I used to speak, but now I seem to hardly talk. Hushed tones, I'm staring at a work of art. Cause she the best, she the sun, she the sky, yeah. She the moon, she the star, she my energy. I'm never tired, cause baby, you the best in here. I put it on my mama, y'all all I ever need. A winning lotto number, and 50 feels of green. One of the prettiest things that I've ever seen. Someone tell me I'm dreaming, cause I don't wanna leave. Birthday cake, I wanna make a wish, make it last forever. I know the good times fade, prepare for stormy weather. You my guiding light, and yeah, you're with forever. I can't predict, don't wanna fight the feeling. Yeah, everything I ever missed, everything I'm needing. Vampire attack, and yo, I guess I'm bleeding. I give her all for you, baby girl, there's no retreating. I'm on the front line, I'ma hold it down. Cause I'm the dude that wouldn't ever let you down. And if I ever did, I would apologize. Cause you know, I'm not the mother guy.
Showing on Chuck Show on Ninja Sunday. I have no scheduled guests today, but I'm talking about a few campaigns. Next one up is I've actually had a fellow actor, Mark Resnick, on my show about the campaign once again. This is in Mark's own words, about this campaign in his own words. I mean, maybe you'll remember us as the happy family with our sons Zach, Max, and Jack playing wiffle ball in front of the house on the corner at Open Street in Birchwood Park Drive in East Birchwood, Jericho. Maybe you remember our son, Zach, who commanded the stage in the Little Theater at Jericho High School at Tib and Fiddler, or Comrade Birdie in Bye Bye Birdie. Our life in Jericho was a happy one, and we were indeed blessed to have lived it. My wife, Nikki's involvement in the Jericho PTA, the boys and my involvement in GAA baseball, our affiliation with the Jericho Jewish Center, and the home we made in that wonderful community all seem like a lifetime ago. In fact, they are. Now in what seems to be a blur of time, we find ourselves victims of horrific circumstances that have unfolded over the past 5 years. Our son's injury and chronic pain, losing our home due to our lender's mortgage fraud, moving out of state to try to build our lives, then the tragic death of our son, and subsequent eviction from a rental, losing all our possessions, and it says here, in 2006, Zach left for USC in Southern California on top of the world, getting into his dream school to follow his passion of studying film in one of the finest film schools in the world. A couple of weeks into the second semester, we received a call from him saying he threw out his bag. I instructed him to take some Tylenol, maybe it would work itself out in a few days. Well, three back surgeries later, the last one being a spinal fusion, Zach was left living in chronic pain. At home with us again, we would learn was a blessing in disguise. Battling the downturn in the economy, I struggled to keep us in our home, but we fell victim to a mortgage fraud situation perpetrated by the now notorious law firm of Stephen A. Baum, B-A-U-M, Google the name, who effectively sold the house off from under our noses after Wells Fargo had agreed to allow us to sell it ourselves. Thus, we lost the home and over the $200,000 in equity we had accrued. We got this, I assured the family, as we uprooted and relocated New Hampshire in June of 2011 with our youngest Jake beginning high school. Zach was still battling his medical condition and wanting nothing more than to feel a little bit better so he could get on with his life and not be reduced to living with mom and dad, having no social life, seeing his huge circle of friends moving on with their lives. After renting our first home for a year, we relocated to another home to get Jake into a better high school. We signed a three-year lease to ensure he could remain in the school district until the end of high school and not be uprooted yet again. Jake's resilience and support throughout the entire progress has been remarkable, and he soon found his niche in circle friends in our new community. Still, things were not ideal. Maybe our first clue should have been that the home we were renting had no running water for the first 3 months we were there. The well had run dry, but our landlord seemed to take steps to remedy the situation. However, problems with the home kept arising, promises of repair went unfulfilled, and then true devastation struck. Our lives changed forever, and we, as always, will be devastated. Our wonderful firstborn, Zach, suddenly passed away in the January of 2013. Simply not waking up one morning. Unbeknownst to anyone, a virus has settled in his heart, enlarged it, and shut it down. He went quietly, presumably painlessly in his sleep from a flu condition that was totally unrelated to other medical problems. Our family has been deprived of so much, but losing a child is the ultimate personal tragedy for parents and siblings. How much more can a family endure? With the expenses surrounding the funeral for Zach, oh, it just kicked me out. Wait a minute, it's right here. Where was that? Give me one moment, ladies and gentlemen. I actually lost my place. Let me see. Where was it? It actually kicked me out of the site. Let's see. Okay, it says, how much more can a family endure? With the expenses surrounding the funeral for Zach, our ability to pay rent on time began to wane. Although we managed, we couldn't pay as promptly as we would have liked. As the brutal winter began this past season, our landlord's unfulfilled promises began to take an incredible toll on us. An unserviced heating system was causing us to burn three times the normal amount of fuel, an expense that was prohibited. An unresolved natural water flow problem turned our driveway into a skating rink, impassable by car or on foot. Not having the resources to retain an attorney, I began to withhold rent, and we were subsequently evicted from a home that was uninhabitable during the winter months. Since our eviction, despite the laws and statutes in New Hampshire, our landlord has prohibited us from obtaining our possessions, furniture, piano, everything we own in the world, including all of Zach's, Max's, and Jake's belongings, writings, schoolwork, photos, etc., family heirlooms, handmade sweaters, and blankets that have been handed down for several generations and no longer our possession. A value cannot be placed on these types of special belongings. Over the weekend, we learned that the landlord had placed a dumpster on the property and would be disposing of everything. A no trespassing sign of the property means we would be arrested if we try to rescue anything. Even mementos as personal as Zach's writings and family photos. We are now homeless, temporarily living out of a low-cost hotel, and need help to retain an attorney to secure an apartment and to allow us to move forward. Yet, another horrific circumstance thrown at our family. Mind you, we remain strong and resilient. Through it all, we still have many blessings to count. Nikki and I are both employed despite the emotional challenges. We have a house, and we have a roof temporarily over our heads. Most of all, we have the love and support of our friends. But it's from afar. We are suffering when we feel we're in quicksand and can't manage without help any longer. Nikki and I have come to the sad realization that we need to reach out to our friends to help us get back on our feet. It is possible for you to help us. any degree would be forever grateful. And he's in New Hampshire. That's Mark Resnick. Mark, M-A-R-K, Resnick, R-E-S-N-I-K. Hold on for a second. A little stinker. She's like, well, it's actually not my little sneaker here. Hey, get out of here. Go, 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 go. You guys can't see it's radio, but I have a kitten, and he's such a little stinker. I never knew I'd fall in love with something this so small. You get out of here, you little rat. It's like a flying squirrel. Well, hence his name is Rocky, but his name is Rocky Balboa. But, yeah, if you want to go to the Facebook page of Mark Resnick, you can actually check out his story that I just read. So if you want to check that out. What I'm going to do before the next foundation, I'm going to actually play Heartbeat by Cardiac, and I'll be right back.
Is it love or lust? You don't like me. I don't really care, it's chemistry, man. Yeah, I seen you when you stepped in. Couldn't understand the sex is your weapon. Party the aggression, I need to have a session. Privately impossible, haters ain't an obstacle. Closing is optional, man, I ain't stopping you. Do what you gotta do, say what you gotta say. Sound piece analysis, heartbeat of 808. Normally I'm comic, say I'm a beat away. Nah, it ain't the pearly gate, got me thinking naughty. You the type of chick that just brought the party. One line, two line, four lines of coke. Got my heartbeat about to jump through my throat. Nah, I ain't into drugs, just get the love. You the type of girl that a thug been dreaming of on the dance floor. I grabbed you close, come out the test, and I heard it go thump, thump. I heard your heartbeat going real fast like a whip down a side street. Cops in pursuit and I'm sitting on a hot seat. Thirsty Thursday, I'm about to full play. You said no way. I said okay, maybe later. I gotta pick my game by the elevator. Thump thump, has them grabbing her hand, and I don't mind a girl with superior games.
You got me going crazy.
I'm a sentiment, ain't coming at your sleep. I know, if this here is special. Eye contact and a lick of the lips. I'm over the hips, got me about to trip like the clumsiest kid. Hate game and a bang of the chest. Party don't rest, till I finesse the drop of the dress. Let the niggas see, cause you know I'm the best.
Father, do you have me, boy? Met you at the after party. Not gonna do nothing, boy. Call me when I leave the lobby.
I know that you feel me, girl. Met you at the after party.
Chili and Chick Show, and it's Ninja Sunday. Woohoo! Be like Ninja. Anybody that's friends with me on Facebook or Twitter, or even listen to my show, you are not official ninjas on Ninja Sunday. Anyway, I do have a question. Now, recently, I did a tan kitten. Only me. I go up a mouth and come down with a cat. This little kitten, he's not even really that big. But how does such a tiny little animal poop so much? I swear to God, the poop's bigger than the kitten. I just don't know. I know a thing to bring up, right? I just don't understand. Seriously. How does a kitten poop that big of a poop? Seriously, I want to know. I just looked at it and was like, I'm the one that feed it. I don't know. Is it even something I just don't know? Maybe that is healthy, but man, and on top of that, the cat is like, the little kitten yells when it's in the litter box, like screaming. And I'm like, is it like a kid that goes, hey, look at me, I'm pooping. That's how it sounds. Go, I'm like, what? And it's like, so I go to the bathroom, like, what are you doing? He goes, I was like, okay, good boy, good boy. Like, he's proud. Look at me, I'm pooping on my own. Animals, I don't know. Sometimes I love animals more than people sometimes. I don't know. Even dogs. I mean, I love all animals. I love ferrets, dogs, horses. You know, I'm a dog person, too. But, you know, as of right now, I just have some cats. Maybe I'll have some dogs someday. I don't know. Maybe. As of right now, I got my hands full. I don't want any more animals after these two cats. That's it. Yep. They're like kids. Yeah, but, well, kids, you can't like, leave alone. That's abuse. You can't go to the grocery store and leave the kids alone by the house. You could go to, like, jail. You leave cats alone. Yeah, that's true. But anyway, back here, once again, I don't have any scheduled guests. The reason for doing it, I'm actually testing my show today because I had some issues Wednesday night where for the first 15 minutes I called in and stuff. I had a tech person, so before I set up another guest, get them all lined up, I'm just testing the show today, reading some foundations here, some charities and foundations. The next one I wanted to talk about was Hannah, the Warrior Princess. And I'm actually, she's adorable, utterly, utterly adorable. And the reason why I like her, I can't help it. I got to call her an official ninja. She actually trains in martial arts. And I'm looking to see if I can actually, I guess her location's in Ireland. And it says here, my name is Hannah Donnelly. I have Apert syndrome, A-P-E-R-T, and I'm very, very happy girl, and I do have to spend a lot of time in and out of the hospital. I live with my mom and my dad and my little sister, Keelan. I have the best family in the whole wide world. I love my Aunt Laura. She's my BFF. I love my martial arts class. I train there with my dad and lots of good friends there, Noleg and, if I can pronounce it, Noleg, N-O-L-L-A-I-G, and Lachlan, L-O-C-H-L-A-N-N. And my coolest buddy is and Hayden. He's always looked after me. Love you all, Hannah, Warrior Princess. So I just want to know, I'm just trying to see if there's actually, I thought there was a website. Maybe I'm wrong because I thought there was a little bit more of a website for Hannah, the Warrior Princess. If there's more things, but if you can actually check it out. Just trying to see. Maybe I'm wrong, but I could have sworn she actually had a website. I'm going to actually Google Hannah's the Warrior Princess. See, that's the one thing good about social media. The good thing, the positive about social media, Google, I'm actually bringing it up because it'll actually give you information. Hopefully I'm going to find to see if there is a website on Hannah. Okay. And I'm going to click in there and Google. There's the Facebook. Maybe another one. Maybe she has two. Okay, yes, that's what I was looking for. It's Hannah the Warrior Princess Fund. And it says, please help this amazing young girl's dream come true. And you can actually go there. There's a fund there, too. You can actually check that out, but she's an interesting young lady that she loves martial arts, so, yeah, she's embedded in my heart here. I'm so proud of all that. It's here, Hannah the Warrior Princess. If you go there and shows her on a bike, I think that's, is that Wallace? I think she's in the picture. Is that Sugarfoot Bill Wallace? I could be wrong. I'm trying to see. Yes. It's Bill Superfoot Wallace. She's on the back of the bike. That's really cool. The bike's got, like, two back tires and a front tire here. Really cool. She does a lot. And if you open up a page, Hannah the Warrior Princess, she actually, I know that around Christmas time, she collected toys to the less fortunate, and it shows all her, you know, all the things that she's done. It looks like she went to see Maleficence, and I'm actually seeing here. I guess this is something, I don't know, I guess Mrs. Brown's Boys. It must be a comedy in Ireland. It says June 27th. Yeah, I think it's, I never heard of that. Maybe I'm just out of it, but it says Mrs. Brown's Boys. So it's something that Hannah is, looks like she's excited about going to see. But you can check it out. She's a very interesting life here. And right now I've got the kitten climbing up my, hey, you, what are you doing? Get down from there. Hold on for a second. What are you doing? Get down. Get down. This thing's going to jump on my head. No, 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 no. Come here. Get your little flea bag. Come here. Come here. Ah, no. Poke my nose. Get off the curtain. I'm doing this live on the air. He swings from the curtains. Oh, man. This thing just picked my nose. Get out of here, you little flea bag. Because I was holding it, and it put its paws up, and its paw went into my nose. Like, great, the cat's picking my nose. You little dirt bag. He wants me to play. Listen, be a good kitty. No, I'm here. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here live on the air, and I'm playing with a kitten because I got a laser tag, and I'm trying to run him down because I swear, kittens, they got, like, noses up their asses or something here. And I swear, I just, like, I hope this kitten's nose runs out and it takes a nap soon. The best invention ever made was the laser tag, this little red dot. Let the cat run out. I'm sitting here, ladies and gentlemen, live on the air. Yes. Oh, yeah, adult woman. I'm not the crazy cat woman now. Now am I, huh? Yeah. Well, anyway, before going on to the next one, I'm going to play another song. Like I said, I'm testing everything today, so I'm going to see where I left off. I'm actually going to play Inspiration by one of my film brothers, Jay Giannone, and I'm going to move on to the next foundation, so I will be right back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry if I'm boring everyone today because I don't have a guest, but like I said, I am testing my radio show because of the mishap that happened Wednesday night. And the thing, too, is I'm warning everyone because of what happened Wednesday night, and I should be more aware of this in the future. It's just some stuff, some mishap. A couple of callers called in, and they were idiots. So, like, within my household, you know, if you have someone over your house and you welcome them, a guest, that's how my guests are treated on the radio show. Now, I don't care anybody's background and stuff. My guests, I'm just clear about, like, what their work is and, you know, what they do in the business in their life. So if anybody does try to call in my future guests, I will disconnect them. I mean, let us resurface. I don't care. Maybe mainstream media, and if I did that, you know, if I let people call in, say whatever they want, maybe it will have more and more people listen to my show. But I'm not going to do that. You know, having the people that I'm on my show, like the grandmasters in martial arts, now, granted, I am never going to be able to, this is the truth, I'm never going to be able to work my way to get like Bruce Lee or Brandon Lee on my show, you know, because they passed away. Great men in their own right. But the thing is, with my show, because I've looked at my stats, and it's over 84,000 people have listened to my show. So as I'm getting a bigger voice, I know that I'm getting contact with more and more grandmasters. And a lot of people, they don't really realize, you know, the people that are in the business, and these are people that have worked in Hollywood that are actually even more respected than some A-listed actors. And the reason why I'm bringing more to light to them is because I think it's really important. I will come back. I'm going to play the song, and I will be right back, and I will talk about the Hollywood Stuntmen's Hall of Fame, something that I am a board of advisor, and I will touch more on that subject when I come back after the song.
Hip-hop saved my life when I was a wreck. It told me to take the noose off my neck. Taught me respect, hustle, collect a check. Just a young prospect with the perfect intellect. The object to control my fate and bring it to you raw with no debate. I dealt with the hate so I have no fear. I roll through you pussies like a pap smear. I'm a reservoir dog, I'll take you right here. So come on with that, get the fuck out of here. Beware, I swear, I'm ready, no lie. When it come to rap, I'm ready to die. I'm ready to fly, but I'm hungry as hell, and I always got the streets if this record don't sell. So come on, God, keep blessing me, and my heart's a rap game, is my destiny. I think better when the pressure's on, and I'm broke as a joke, facing a storm. I work harder in my room, depressed with this eviction notice, facing homelessness. I'm at my best right after I fail, and a judge tells me I gotta go back to jail. I'm real when I say rap's why I live, and the only other reason is for my kids. What's a hot track without a dope beat? It's like death row without the D-R-E. What would rap be without Snoop and Nas spitting the truth over 16 bars? What would rap be like without the game? 50 and M, it wouldn't be the same. Where would rap be at without Park and Q? Half of us gangsters wouldn't have shit to do. Man, I love hip-hop, it's taking me places. The game never changes, only the faces. The race is divine, you can place in time. Success is hard to find, what can happen if you grind? I'ma eat off rhyme, my time to shine. No more sideline, I'm out to get mine. I'm not from Compton, I grew up on Slauson, but rap is in my heart from South Central to Boston. I think better when the pressure's on, and I'm broke as a joke, facing a storm. I work harder in my room, depressed with this eviction notice, facing homelessness. I'm at my best right after I fail, and a judge tells me I gotta go back to jail. I'm real when I say rap's why I live, and the only other reason is for my kids. The pressure's obsessive, compulsive disorder. I rap for my daughter to have running water. My son's in my mind when I rhyme to my recorder. I'm kinda sorta very lucky, I think, cause real hustlers like me are a stink. All I need is some ink to tell you what I think. Half these rappers talk shit and their breath is stink. Man, they rinky dink with no street cred. Try to step to me, I'll put your ass to bed. I rep the dead, lost dad when I was 10. Got two kids and plan to be around for them. So I do what I do and I won't ever stop. There's only chosen few who rise to the top. Some rise, some flop, some stand tall, but the bigger they are, the harder they fall. I think better when the pressure's on, and I'm broke as a joke, facing a storm. I work harder in my room, depressed with this eviction notice, facing homelessness. I'm at my best right after I fail, and a judge tells me I gotta go back to jail. I'm real when I say rap's why I live, and the only other reason is for my kids.
Back. It's Shelling on Chuck on the Shelling and Chuck Show, and it's Ninja Sunday. Woohoo! Well, anyway, you know, I was talking about a few charity foundations, which, first of all, thinking about giving back because, you know, I've been doing the show for almost 2 years now, about 190 shows, something like that, and because of my listeners and my supporters, everybody that's been supporting and tuning in, I want to say thank you very, very much from the bottom of my heart because seriously, I never know my show was going to go this way. I was given this show from my big sister, Charlie, and she says, here you go. And I'm sitting here, I'm a tech tard, you know. I'm lucky I know how to scratch my ass or something, wipe my own butt on a daily basis here. So I'm trying to learn as I go. And she says, you know, if you want something, I'll give you a voice because there's some things that, you know, that are very important to me. And I know the bigger voice you have, the more people are going to listen to you. And, you know, I'm not some sort of beauty queen or anything like that. And it's like, I just know what I love. So I started out with the show. I'm going to talk about one of my idols, Jackie Chan and nunchucks. This is how I was going to think, you know, being all crazy stuff. But because people are supporting my show and doing what I'm doing, I'm able to give back. And that's what I'm kind of doing today, make sure my show runs okay so I can get really great, you know, guests for my show. And I just feel very lucky, and I just wanted to take, you know, time out and thank the people that have been sort of supporting my show. Thank you so much, because now in turn, I can give back and really talk about, you know, charities and foundations and things that matters in my heart. So today's Ninja Sunday. Usually I get some great people on my show, and just networking, and I've been doing this for about 10 years, networking and talking to people in the industry. For me, I've been getting people, And like I said, a lot of people are not going to know the people that I get on my show, even though they're very highly respected grandmasters in the business. And I'm talking like this in Hollywood. And the reason why I know them is because I grow up watching them, because I've never wanted to be Barbie. I've always wanted to be Ninja. Yes, a grown woman loves ninjas. I can't help it. I know it sounds like I'm saying ninja. It's my Boston accent. I told you it's whack, and this is why I spell some things on my show as I'm saying them. But if the Boston accent works for me and helps me out, gets me work, I ain't going to fix it because it ain't broken if it's working for me, because I swear to God, people tell me to get rid of my Boston accent. If this is what's been helping me and it gets me things in life the way I want it, I don't want to fix myself. Granted, I don't know big, huge words, and I'm trying to make sure, because for all the grammar Nazis out there, believe me, you know how that whole thing, they are, they're, all those things. I try to be careful in how I write because, you know, people go ballistic on the internet, and the internet is the internet. Facebook. It's like, I'm like, bam. It sounds like these grammar Nazis are going to, like, you know, just chop your head off with how you're spelling your thing. So I can't explain things how they are, but I know how to write it because I'm trying to, you know, make sure with articles, like I've been writing in Hub Pages, even though, you know, I've been doing better. I've been on Hub Pages for about 4 years, and they started featuring my articles. So I have been taking my time because on Facebook, it's Facebook. It's all a lot of fun stuff like that, even though I use it to promote, and believe me, if you don't know my stuff by now, you're going to be like, damn, that girl ain't got nothing new besides post on Facebook. But the truth is, I can type 80 to 90 words a minute. So I type as fast as I talk. Sometimes it doesn't catch up with me. Sometimes it's just like, what the hell is Shelly writing about? Because it's funny, because when I'm writing, I'm totally, I think my brain, like, is different than when I'm, like, want to get out typing than when I'm talking. Because when I'm typing on the internet, people are going, she's such a retard. Unless, like, Shelly, don't say that about yourself. No, really, I am a tech-tard because I think it's the Asperger's syndrome thing I have, and it's the way I think. So when I'm trying to get out what I want to think and I type it, it doesn't come out the way, and people are going, something's wrong with this girl. She needs to be kicked in the head or slapped in the head. And believe me, I have been kicked in the head. I mean, if you've ever trained in a dojo, and I've had that done on purpose, and people like are going to say, Shelly, you're not right in the head. Because when I was training the dojo back home, I wanted to know, seriously, I wanted to know what it was like to be thrown around. So I would ask the guys, hey, throw me. So I'd have them throw me around. And I got to know what it feels like to be thrown around. And that's practically how I got the stunts in the first place, you know, doing things. But anyway, to get back about the Grandmaster stuff, which I am so very thankful. If I can see this in Chinese, the correct spelling is S-I-E-X-I-E. Shishe, and that means thank you in Chinese. Now, granted, I don't know if that's Mandarin or Cantonese, which means thank you in Chinese. The grandmasters that I've been getting on my show, these people are very successful. And I go, you know something? I want to be like them, not necessarily the movements, because, you know, all they say is surround yourself with successful people. And that's why the reason, well, there's a couple reasons why I want to move from Maine to go to California. First of all, to get away from the winter. I just cannot stand it. I want to get away from the winter. The other thing, too, I've made many more network connecting friends out in California. And like I said, there are these grandmasters, and they're very successful in their way. The thing is, when they're sitting there talking to me on the shows, I'm going, they're very humbling. These people that have made their own success, but they sit there and they talk to me like a normal human being, and I just feel very honored. I'm like, wow, they're taking their time out and sitting with me. So for me personally, to begin on what I was talking about, I know I ramble on, but there's always a reason why I ramble on to get to the point, which I always take the long road, the long-ass road, with something I've been doing. Because like I said, ever since I was little, I never wanted to be a Barbie doll. I've always wanted to be a ninja. I want to capture the history of these people. Like I said, I'm never going to be able to get Bruce Lee or Brandon Lee because they passed away. But the people that I've been getting on my show, all the grandmasters, all great, wonderful people that are highly respected throughout the world and even in Hollywood. Even the actors, great, you know, A-listed actors, they respect these grandmasters because they help train these people that I've got, the martial arts on my show, like Douglas Wong. He's trained Kevin Sorbo, Lucy Lawless, and Ryan Gosling, who's known for The Notebook. So he trained him when he was like young Hercules, and many other people. Eric Lee, Grandmaster Eric Lee, Grandmaster of Kumsong. I'm sorry if I pronounced it wrong, but getting these people on my show, and I'm sitting here, and it's, you know, seeing them, some of them around like Donald Trump and all these very successful people, and here I am, and I'm going, wow, I want to be around all these grandmasters. And like I said, it's not necessary to learn about all the movements, but it's on the inside, because I'm a spaz, and I'm hyper, and I have no balance, like, the way I want to be balanced, because I see these guys, and they're very nonchalantly laid back, and the way they speak, it's wonderful, because everything's technology, all that, it's everything, everything's texting and technology, and it seems like with the older generation, I'm talking about these guys are like in their 50s and 60s, and they're so healthy, and, you know, it's just like, it's amazing, these men. So my point of bringing all this stuff in, going back to the Hollywood Stuntman Hall of Fame, I was welcomed on board as a board of advisor. So I was just like, I was like, what? From John G. Hagner, he was on my show. And I want to bring up, I'm actually going to pull up Light on the Air, let you people know, I run everything myself. So as much as the tech time, I'm trying to do this live on the air without peeing my pants live on the air. Of course, if I pee my pants, you guys can't see it or smell it, so I'm doing quite well. That's the difference with radio, because with radio and not seeing anything, I don't have to do makeup. I could look so scary, no makeup. You know, I could be half naked. If I have to go to the bathroom on the radio show, you know, I'll just, like, do what I got to do. I could be on the toilet running my radio show. So that's the great thing about radio, because no one's going to know what you're doing. So that's the great thing. If I need to take a poop break or pee break, I could be talking. You don't know it. I could be sitting on the toilet. You know, as long as I don't make any sounds, I'm okay. But anyway, back to the Hollywood Stuntman's Hall of Fame. The thing is, I'm being welcomed aboard as a board advisor. To me, it is an honor. And for me personally, when I looked at the history of all films, and you guys can check this out, and I'm not lying, it's not something I'm making up. Every single film that is a movie, you sit and you watch the credits. What's at the last credits? What's on the bottom is the stunt people, or on the very bottom. If you go to an IMDb page for all actors, anything associated with the entertainment business, IMDb page, look that up, .com, you know, like De Niro and everybody. Look at the films. Any action film, what's on the bottom listed? It's the stunt community. It's actually below wardrobe, below hair, below makeup. And even though people have told me, the stunt people, they get paid to get hurt, and they come a dime a dozen. And I go, so people that risk their lives to help, you know, with stories, be told on a film, they're not as important as makeup, you know, wardrobe. I think they are. And this is why, you know, I've been trying to raise money, and I'm going to keep trying to raise money until I see this museum erected. And this is exactly, if you go to the Hollywood Stuntman's Hall of Fame, and this is about John Hagner. My name is up on the website there somewhere. You'll see it. I'm probably on the last to list because I'm one of the newer members there. And I'm one of the board of advisors. If you go there and check out, this is exactly what it says on the website about the museum. Hundreds of exhibits of rare artifacts and memorabilia of stars and stunt performers of motion pictures and television featuring personal items of John Wayne, Jimmy Stewart, Steve McQueen, and stunt legends of the movies, including Yakima Canute, Cliff Lyons, Dave Sharp, Ronnie Riddell, and hundreds of others. There are over 350 concrete blocks that contain the footprints and handprints, as well as signatures of many of the greats of the cinema, a collection that outranks those that are located at the Mann's Chinese Theater on Hollywood Boulevard. This rare collection has taken its founder, John G. Hagner, more than 65 years to gather and preserve for posterity, featuring parts of costumes, weapons, stunt equipment, photos, and paintings and drawings, hats and caps, boots and shoes, and hundreds of items from the movies and television, plus videos, films, and film clips. The Hall of Fame has been in existence since 1973 and became a nonprofit organization in 1984 dedicated to preserving the history of the stunt profession and to honoring stunt people the world over. Currently, the Hall of Fame is without a home and needs financial support to enable them to afford a building in which to welcome visitors. Anyone interested in participating in this effort may make a tax-deductible donation to the Hollywood Stuntman's Hall of Fame and mail it to 81 West Cane Creek Boulevard. That's 81 West, W-E-E-S-T, Cane, K-A-N-E, Creek, C-R-E-E-K, Boulevard, number 12, Moab, M-O-A-B, Utah, 84532. For more information, contact John Hagner at 435-260-2160. His email address is johnhagner@gmail.com, johnhagner@gmail.com. For additional information, go to Facebook and click in Falling for Stars, Artist of the Stars, and then Stars and Legends. And you can check that out. And like I said, for me personally, my whole life, you know, I've loved ninjas. I love Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow, American Ninja. Oh, speaking of that, you know, before going on speaking about American Ninja, which I'm so super pumped because my ninja pal, Stephen Lambert, has been on my show so much, and Stephen's such a sweetheart. You know, if you want to give to the Hollywood Stuntman Hall of Fame, go to that information. You know, and once my show's off the air, you can play back in my archives here and get all that information once again. Just to let you guys know, all the American Ninja fans, you know, with Michael Dudikoff, just to let you know, I had Stephen Lambert, who's been a stuntman. Let me tell you, this stuff is really crazy because this Stephen Lambert was one of the stunt guys in Hollywood or anywhere, as a matter of fact. I think he was maybe one of the only ones that's actually done stunts on the top of the Statue of Liberty's head. This is how you know someone's crazy, because it was back during the 1980s, and I think the film was called Adventures in Remo Williams, and the Statue of Liberty was being fixed. I don't know if people remember all the scaffolding and stuff, and Stephen Lambert was on top of the Statue of Liberty. This was not green screen. He really was on the top there doing stunts. I mean, this guy has big brass cojones. He's such a sweet, humble guy, but this guy has done stuff. And you've got to look up Stephen Lambert. He's worked with Robert De Niro. He's worked with Al Pacino, and he doubles for James Woods. And I'm just sitting there going, Stephen, you really are nuts? And everybody's like, oh, my gosh, Shelley, you're saying this about the stunt people, but it's all out of love. When I say that these stunt people are crazy, because if you really think about it, nobody normal is going to do this. Nobody normal in the whole wide world is going to go out and do stunts like this on top of the Statue of Liberty's head. I mean, come on. We would all poop our pants. I'm telling you, I mean, our undies would have Skid Row. Yes, I think we would take a heart attack, but just to see what this guy has done, and it's just like, I didn't even know. I think Stephen actually friended me, and I honestly didn't know who he was, but I watched Stephen Lambert's work my whole life. And the thing is, growing up, we never had the technology that we have nowadays. When we were watching TV, well, when I was watching TV when I was a kid, we were lucky to have cable. I mean, I remember having a black and white TV with the UHF and the VHF, and the knobs would come out. And then you'd have to get an antenna in your room and put it in the back, and to try to make it work, you would get tinfoil and put it on the antenna. Now, if you got cable, oh, my God, that felt like you were so rich, because you had this little box of little clicker, I don't know, whatever you want to call it. It's not like it nowadays, but it was like this square little box that you could, you know, stations. But, like, with technology today, we couldn't see what the credits were. If you forgot, if you didn't look at the credits, you couldn't pause everything like nowadays could do. So, you know, there was no way. We didn't have the way to find out who the stunt people, you know, for these films. So Stephen Lambert, he's in there. He posted pictures on his Facebook page. I just fall off my bed because I've been watching Stephen's work my whole life. And he was an American ninja working with Shogazuki. And he's done all these crazy ninja stunts. And I'm like, Jesus. You know, he told me stories when he was walking on a rope. I forget which ninja film it is, and he's dressed up as a ninja. And these Dobermans are chasing after him. I'm telling you, this guy has got to be nuts. You've got Doberman pinchers chasing after you, going to bite your butt. And I think I don't know if they bit his butt. I forget what it was, or it bit his, you know, his costume or something like that, and him doing all these crazy things. So he's really done these stunts. And he also told me about one of these stunts that he actually did. He almost died. And he was really high up in a high skyscraper. And they were telling him, you know, Stephen, don't do this thing. Let's test this. So he's like, no, I want to do it now. And he says, you're always going to try to be prepared. So he sat back and let somebody take, it was a rope going from one building to the next, not a rope, whatever you want to call it, it was a rope. And what they did is they took a bag, and this was high above the ground, and they did it, and it fell to the ground. So you even have to be very careful in testing things, and then the next thing you know, he's doing the stunts. So it is kind of, it's kind of scary doing these stunts. And when people tell me stupid things like, some people will come a dime a dozen, and they get paid to get hurt, which is the stupidest thing that people have to say, because if it wasn't for the stunt people out there, half those films that are films would never get made today. So the stunt people, we do owe a lot to them for half the films that we do, you know, watch out there. I just can't stand when people say stuff like that. I mean, it's like people say, Shelley, don't call people stupid. But to me, when people say, oh, yeah, stunt people, they come a dime a dozen, that's not right. It's really, really, truly not right. And I don't like when people say that. So let's see. I'm just checking some email and stuff. And so I will be getting guests more and more. Wow. Man, can I talk for a long time? It's like, is it like really 125? Are you kidding me? Gosh, I'm not even paying attention to my own time. Wow, and I didn't have to go to the bathroom. You guys don't even know what it's like for 2 hours. And if you have to go to the bathroom or something like that, especially if you ever have the runs or you just eat something right before the show and if it doesn't settle in your stomach and you got to go to the bathroom, yeah. Yeah. And I got to tell you, the strangest thing on my show has one of the most listened to, I'm not kidding, one of my film brothers back in Boston, Tricepta Studios, when I had a bunch of guys on the show, we mentioned the word poop, okay? That show, by mentioning the word poop, I don't even know how we got on the topic, has, like, the most listened to out of one of all my shows. It's just really funny. You mention the word poop, and people get all excited. I don't know why, because it's really disgusting. I don't know, talk about feces, poop, wiping your butt, or, you know, sitting on a toilet. People like that. Fire chokes, I don't know why. I don't know. Maybe because I grew up around guys, I get the humor. I mean, I'm just like, I think sometimes I'm a little bit sadistic with some things I like. And I don't say the things because it's like I'm trying to get more guys' attention. You know, like how some women are, they kind of like, will only like things to get a guy to like them, but they really don't like those things, but it's only to get a guy's attention. I like the things I like because, like I said, I never really want to be Bobby. I've always wanted to be a ninja. I've always been around guys. You know, I could be a guy's best friend, but as far as relationship goes, forget it. It's down the crapper. No, seriously, it's just I want to do things for myself. And in this way, I'm trying to inspire people to do for themselves too. What was that sound on my phone? Did I get disconnected? Hey, hold on. I had to take my phone. Okay, I'm still connected. I just heard some clicking noise on my phone, so I was like, man, did I just drop my own signal here? So, yeah, imagine being 2 hours on a radio show, and you have to keep talking or playing music yourself. You have to be kind of entertaining. Seriously, I'm exhausted. My throat is dry and stuff like that. I'm sitting here. Maybe I shouldn't be drinking coffee. Maybe I should be drinking some tea or some water or something. And meanwhile, I think the kitten has finally calmed down. Hey, what you doing? Yeah. So anyway, about the stunt world, yeah, I'm trying very, very hard to raise money for the Hollywood Stuntman's Hall of Fame. I'm trying to think of other, I think one other foundation, is it really, oh my gosh, is it really almost like 1:30? Oh my God, I'm pooping my pants here. I guess I can talk a lot. I just keep talking and talking and talking. Man, I got diarrhea of the mouth or something just going on and on and on here. Let's see, there is another one that I do take to heart. I mean, anybody that wants to call in, if they got a charity or a foundation, want to call 347-989-1473, 347-989-1473. Listen, I know what. Okay, someone's calling me, my friend. Listen, girlfriend, if you're hearing me, don't call my show. I'm doing the show for another half hour. Not my cell phone. You guys can hear it. Maybe someday I'll be able to afford separate equipment. I just have my phone right now, and someone's calling my phone. So if anybody's trying to call my phone right now, I'm doing another half hour on my show. Ah, poop. They can leave a message, I guess. What's the other one? So seriously, if people want to call in, don't call my cell phone. Call this number, 347-989-1473, 347-989-1473. I think I'm doing my show for about another 20 minutes. Okay, the other foundation, it's kind of hard for me to talk about because this touches home a little bit. And It's a young woman. I never got to meet her, but it's someone that I would have called my niece. And it's called the Sarah Joy Foundation. This is something that I'm personally helping to grow. I didn't start it, but one of my nephews, this is in my extended family. I've been adopted into many, many families, and this is one of the families, and it's one of my nephews. His wife passed away from cancer a couple years ago. She was pregnant with her second child, and because she didn't want to undergo any treatments so that her son could be born, she eventually lost her life to cancer, and I think it was breast cancer. So with the Sarah Joy Foundation, this is something that we're trying to bring awareness to, and it's from one of my extended families back in Boston and Philadelphia. And I think that's where Eric resides with his two sons. And the Sarah Joy Foundation, let me bring it up here. Give me 1 second, ladies and gentlemen. Gosh, my throat is getting a little dry here, but I'm going to bring up on the Sarah Joy Foundation. Yes, let me see. Okay. This is what it's about in the description. And I think this is Sarah's husband that wrote this, because it's going to say I, but keep that in mind, it's Eric. It's sacrifice. It's the other half of Cardiac. It's sacrifice. It's Eric. And it's on the description. The Sarah Joy Foundation is our way of honoring Sarah Joy, who passed away from cancer at 32 years of age, leaving behind two small boys and husband Eric. Through this foundation, our vision is to create a way to help families and cancer patients enjoy their life as much as they can. Sarah, in her last year, did more traveling and activities than most people do in a lifetime. She went jet skiing, parasailing, hiking, golfing, saw every beach on the East Coast. The list goes on and on. She did all this while being told she was too sick to even get out of bed. Too many families made their lives a hospital bed and four walls because of this illness, and that for Sarah was never an option. Through raising money, we would like to offer other families the same joy that Sarah and we had before she passed. It is amazing what a day at a spa could do, or a roller coaster ride with your kids. Having cancer doesn't mean death, and people shouldn't mourn someone while they are alive. Enjoy life, love the summer breeze, the winter snow, the leaves in the fall, the flowers in the spring. We will be organizing fundraisers of all kinds, shapes, and sizes. And you can actually check that out. Everything today, all the foundations, all the charity work, I actually posted on my Facebook page. You can all listen to this after it's live on the air. It is in the archives. Now, I already played back for you all, but I'm going to play a song once again. And this is Eric. I'm actually losing my voice here. This is Sacrifices, Eric's song Back for Y'all, and I'll be back in a few moments. Here's the song Back for Y'all.
Yo, I'm back. You knew I couldn't stay away. It's in my blood. This is what I'm good at. This is what I'm meant to do. Check it. Back in the lab again, back on the road. Crack fit on tracks when I rap, shit is so. Oh, they gonna love it, but they bugging when I speak. So run and tell your cousins, get your budgets when I leak. Back to the pen, pen, paper to the pad. Tracks so authentic, it's the haters getting mad. Back to the music like a user needed bad. Never could have kicked the habit, I'm an addict for the lab. Words turn to verbs, verbs burst through the mic. Mics like when I write, cause I light when I write. Back to the rhythm, living, can I get a rhyme? Put some lime, it'll kill them every time I spit, I shine. Back to the booth, goosebumps, give me chills. I'm the truth on the loops, oops, scoops with the skills. Soundproof on the wall, gives me the beat of mind. Like it's me and my rhymes, ain't nothing but some time. This is my life, and I'm doing what I please. I'ma write these lines, I'ma spit these freeze. One mic, one pen, headphones and all. One booth, one truth, and I'm back for y'all. This is hip-hop, it's the essence of my soul. The reason that I'm here, the reason that I go. One mic, one pen, headphones and all. One booth, one truth, and I'm back for y'all. Back in the studio, back on the grind. I'm living every
every minute trying to nurse another line. Does this rhyme with that? No, it doesn't give a scratch. Add this instead of that, now you got another track. Back in the backstage waiting to perform, working on the words, words waiting to be born. Warning from the swarm of fans waiting for your turn. Freeing in my head, that's the cry for the storm. Back in the battle, raps tracks like my stars, and my raps like the battle axe, rap for the stars. Every word is ammunition and I'm fitting, hitting hard. Written, kicking vicious systems, sticking rippers, pick apart. Sacrifice is my ambition and my reason on this earth. Grab a mic, it's my religion and the beat is my church. Verses are my sermons and my service is a prayer, and my prayers are getting answered every day that I'm here. This is my life and I'm doing what I please. I'ma write these lines, I'ma spit these frees. One mic, one pen, headphones and all. One booth, one truth, and I'm back for y'all. This is hip-hop, it's the essence of my soul. The reason that I'm here, the reason that I go. One mic, one pen, headphones and all. One booth, one truth, and I'm back for y'all. Back for the fans, fam, damn, I never leave. Back for the late nights, writing till I sleep. Back for the line that I never got to write, because I didn't have a pen when it came into my sight. Back for the pen, back for the pad, and I'm back for every opportunity I never had. Back for the gift that I will never waste, or mistakes that I take to the grave when I break. Back for the squad, back for the fam. Back for cardiac, tragic in the camp. Back for situ magic, wisdom in the fam. And every fan that believed in me, I never gave a chance. Back for the love, for the craft that I hold. For the fire that's within and the ice that is cold. Back for my boys and I'm back for their life. And I'm back for a promise that I made to my wife. This is my life and I'm doing what I please. I'ma write these lines, I'ma spit these freeze. One mic, one pen, headphones and all. One booth, one truth, and I'm back for y'all. This is hip-hop, it's the essence of my soul. The reason that I'm here, the reason that I go. One mic, one pen, headphones and all. One booth, one truth, and I'm back for y'all.
Yep, I'm back at Chilling on Tech Show on the with me, and it's Ninja Sunday. Woohoo! Yeah! Well, anyway, looks like the little kid's finally calmed down. The last, like, 20 minutes of the show, and he's finally sitting down, you little fleet bag, you little bastard here. Am I not supposed to swear on my own radio show? This is what I get. I'm from Boston. Even though I can't really stereotype everyone from Boston, it's, like, half the time, even though, like, no, I've lived on the inner cities and stuff like that. Maybe that's why my accent is so thick. I don't know. I don't usually talk about it, but, you know, it's really funny in the industry. You know, when I first got into, like, acting, and, I, you know, every once in a while I get to do films. I've only recently, within the past couple of years, got to be able to do a lead, and hopefully, you know, hoping very much that this film will be over by the fall, because I want to go to California. I don't want to spend another winter. There's no way I want to spend another winter in Maine. I know people saying, well, you're a New Englander and you should be used to it. I do not like the snow at all. I'm just done. I'm so done. I've been looking at, like, maybe to go off to, like, San Diego, California. I just done. Done with the winter. But, hey, you know, like, hopefully, you know, with my radio show, you know, I'm also, like, if people want to place an ad for 30 seconds, it's $50. If anybody wants to sponsor my show, feel free and contact me, which will be really, really greatly appreciated. So, you know, you can find me on Facebook, Shelly Nunchucks. I think I'm the only one in the world that has that name. It's not duplicated. I'm all over the internet. Just come in. You know, just Google it. Google. By the way, did someone, like, birth the name Google? How did they come up with the word Google? Did they sneak it, like, sneeze it, like Google or something? Did they birth the sound? I mean, you ever sit there and wonder who invented words? Like, some of the words that, you know, come out like a zuntite or something, meaning for sneezing. Google. Were they sitting around with a bunch of little kids and they were going, Google, Google? It's like, you know, what exactly? I wonder if I can actually Google what Google means. Google, Google. Were some teenagers, they said, would Google it and said some sort of thing. You know what? I'm going to Google. This is how we, like I'm spaz. So what I'm going to do is Google. What does, I'm really doing this, ladies and gentlemen. What does Google mean? Let me see. Google. Okay. Google. Say it a couple times. It doesn't even sound like a word anymore. Let's see. Search for information about someone or something on the internet using the search engine Google. So it's a verb. Google. This doesn't sound like a word after a while. Google. See it? Is that not like a tongue twister? Google. Google. I'm not even probably saying it right. Like I said, I have the Boston accent. I don't even want to say it anymore. It doesn't even sound like a name. Like, Wikipedia. Let's see. If I look up on Wikipedia, I don't know if that's even right. It says free encyclopedia, but, you know, anybody can fix it. Like, Google. Okay. This is what it said on Wikipedia about Google. The article is about the corporation. For the search engine, see Google search. For other users, see Google. I can't even pronounce this. It's disambiguation. Not to be confused with Google, G-O-O-G-O-L. Google is an American, multinational corporation specializing in internet-related services and products. This includes online advertising technology, search, cloud computing, and software. Most of its profits are derived from AdWords. And this is when Google was founded by Larry Page and Sergey Brin. Well, they were PhD students at Stanford University. Together, they own about 14% of its shares, but control 56% of the stockholder voting power through super voting stock. They incorporated Google as a privately held company on September 4th, 1998. An initial public offering followed on August 19, 2004. Its mission statement from the outset was to organize the world's information and make it universally accessible and useful, and its unofficial slogan was, don't be evil. What the heck? Don't be evil? Okay, if someone can explain, I don't get that. Don't be evil? Okay. It says 2006, Google moved to headquarters in Mountain View, California, nicknamed the Googleplex. I'm going to type on it. Because it's saying something about don't be evil. It's in blue, so I'm just, okay. Now, this is saying about Google, don't be evil. I actually clicked on this. This is not something I'm saying. I'm clicking onto the page here. And it says don't be evil. It's the former corporate mogul slogan of Google. What the heck? Can someone explain that to me? I'm really going to ask someone. I'm going to post this on my Facebook page, and I'm going to ask someone. What the heck? This is a very strange thing going. It says, while there has been unsourced allegation that Google dropped this motto, particularly in light of their, I can't even pronounce the word, something privacy violation such as the infamous WiSpy case, it remains at the very head of Google's code of conduct. It was first suggested by Google employee Paul Burchite at a meeting about corporate values that took place in early 2000 or in 2001, or according to another account by Google engineer Amit Patel in 1999. Was it 1999? Burchett, the creator of Gmail, and he wanted something that once you put it in there, it would be hard to take it out, adding that the slogan was also a bit of a jab at a lot of the other companies, especially our competitors, who at the time, in our opinion, were kind of exploiting the use to some extent. But if you really think about it, when you go on Google, you can log in and you can edit this stuff. You know, you can create an account and you can edit stuff on Google, but I think you get kicked out now because there was something, I forget what it was. I don't know if it was about Jackie Chan and Wikipedia. Let's see. Okay. All right. You know what I'm going to do? And you're all going to shake your head because I think I have time left, maybe about 10 or 15 minutes. For the heck of it, I'm gonna Google Jackie Chan. Oh, leave me alone. I'm having fun. I'm Googling Jackie Chan. Don't leave me alone. Okay, this is the Wikipedia. Let's see. I wonder if they got this right. Okay. Wikipedia. Jackie Chan. It's, you know, yeah, date is right. April 7th, 1954. Is a Hong Kong actor, action choreographer, comedian, director, producer, martial artist, screenwriter, but comedian, I guess you can't really say stand-up comedian because he never really did stand-up. He's comedic. Maybe they need to, like, fix that because he's not really a comedian per se. Screenwriter, entrepreneur, singer, and some performer. And his movie is also known for his acrobatic fighting style, comic timing, use of improv, weapons, innovative stunts. He's one of the few actors that, for all of his film stunts, Chan has been acting since the 1960s. No! That's wrong! I'm pretty sure it was before 1960. Acting. Been acting. They need to fix that. Maybe acting in the 1960s. Jackie Chan, like, wait a minute. When was he born? 1942. I'm pretty sure because Jackie's, what, 60? So let me see. Let me figure this. Maybe it's right, but he was actually acting since he was, like, you know, 8 years old. Where he was, no, 10 years old. He was signed to the Drama Academy. So even before then, he was actually acting in the theater. So maybe it'll just go all the way down there. So he's been acting even long before that. Has appeared in over 150 films. Chan has received stars on the Hong Kong Avenue Stars and the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Oh, that's another thing! Yeah! The Hollywood Stuntman's Hall of Fame. John D. Hagner, he actually told me that Jackie Chan is actually an inductee. So, yeah! I'm so super pumped about the Hollywood Stuntman's Hall of Fame. He's one of the new inductees. I'm quite pumped. So, you know, I'll be pumped. Once that museum is built for the Hollywood Stuntman's Hall of Fame, you know I'm going to be pumped. Yeah, because I forgot all about that. Yeah, that's right. John actually told me over the year that actually Jackie Chan's one of the inductees. So I'm actually pumped about that, too. I forgot about that. And this goes about, you know, he's a singer, cartoons, video games. Man, Chan is a man. It's what is Cancel Pops and Manda Pop Star? That must be like K-pop and stuff. They haven't released a number of albums and sung many of his theme songs for films in which he starred. He is also a notable Bill Pandas. Yeah, I can't even pronounce that. Yeah, I can't even pronounce half the words I want to. Mind you, I'm like, yes, I've done stand-up. Yes. Now you see why I talk real funny. And people wonder why I can understand what Jackie Chan says. Listen how I talk sometimes. I'm losing my voice right now. And seriously, speaking how you talk, I have problems like Jackie does. When you're calling, you know when you call up the computer? And I swear to gosh, if I was in my 20s with all this technology, I would have thrown my cell phone out the window. Because, you know, everything nowadays is by computer. And you know with my Boston accent, these computers, when they ask, well, what would you like to do? And you have to talk to a computer, not a live person, when you're trying to get help with companies and stuff. And then they don't understand your response. So what do you do? And someone said, well, you should swear and use the F word. And then they'll get you a different operator because they can't understand the word that begins with the letter F. I know it's not a way to, like, be that smart, but I go to call, you know, like banks, when you call in your bank, or other things, you know, like bills or something, your electric company or whatever, and everything's computerized. But when you're trying to talk to a computer and you got an accent like mine, they don't understand you, or they connect you with another department, and you have to sit there for about 15, 20 minutes to tell the department that you're not even want to talk to. You just want to pay your bill over line. I'm telling you, all I want to do is pay a bill. It takes me an hour and a half to pay a bill. I'm not kidding. To call it, because no one can understand what I'm saying. Maybe I should take some pronunciation stuff. But for me to pay something where I got the money to pay a bill, and it takes me an hour and a half. I mean, I could walk halfway there to half the places out there on how long it takes me to pay a bill on the phone. And then, too, on top of it, my phone, I got a craptastic phone where if you have to dial something, the letters, when they say, like, a telephone number, like a 1-800, and it's got letters, the way mine is an AT&T kind of phone, it's a prepaid debit phone that I have for now. You know those letters don't coincide with the numbers on my phone? So I can't even call some numbers on my phone. Not kidding. You know, it's like ABC is like letter one or whatever like that. That's not on my phone. So try having mine where I can't even speak right, and I can't even dial the numbers to pay a bill. So if I want to pay a bill over the phone, it takes me sometimes half hour, 3 hours to pay one bill. I should get back into some stand-up and talk about this crap. Yeah, that's why I'm insane. Yes, I'm a spaz. I can't help it. But does anybody, am I wrong? Trying to pay a bill. 3 hours. 3 hours, more folks. 3 hours to pay a bill on the phone because people can't understand. I'm going to be like Chris Tucker. Do you understand the words coming out of my mouth? So then, while I'm sitting here, now, I'm pretty sure I have a basic knowledge or a basic way of speaking English. You know, I am American. I know I have a funny accent. Even people that speak English or even from Boston that speak English, they can't even understand what I'm saying. That's how heavy my accent is. And speaking of Bostonian, I'm going to tell you something. You know how they have that saving park the car in Harvard Yard? I'm going to tell you people something. There's no parking your car in Harvard Yard. You know why? It's because there's no parking spaces. You have to take the red line in. You take the MBTA. There's no parking spaces. If you're in Harvard, you drive around for an hour and a half to 2 hours to find a parking space. So you have to take the T in. So there's no parking your car in Harvard Yard. That's all I got to say. You take the T in. But the good thing about knowing about Boston, you know, it's too bad. Maybe, you know, if I didn't move back to Boston, I could give them the Shelley tour. Yeah, my friends that actually were living like in the suburbs and they used to come to Boston. Mind you, I lived in the inner cities. So the thing is, you know, I know the in and out of Boston, and it's like it's not until they do construction work and they move the exits, that's when you're screwed. You know, they do construction work and they move the exits or they move it, you know, how to get off the highway sometimes, because I'm confused on the highway sometimes. Really, truthfully, are? Yeah, I am. Don't even ask me to give directions. Do not ever ask me to give directions because I'll get everyone lost. I'll get you end up living it, go like driving to China. Believe me, I could get you directions the wrong way and you'll end up in China. So never ask me to give you directions. Don't. You know what? When they say, I agree with men. When women say, stop and ask someone for directions, unless it's a place I know with the gas station or something or like it's during the day, I will not tell anybody to stop and give out directions. No, swear to God. There's crazy people out there in the world. You know, they're like, they do crazy thing at gas stations. So you're always going to watch the back at gas stations nowadays. Man, I could tell you guys some crazy stuff up here in Maine. You know, talking about living place stuff. And I think I mentioned this before about working on films. You know, I'm coming from, you know, Boston, and it's really weird that I actually – it's kind of funny because over a friend's house, I actually found Stephen King's house. No, I didn't bother him, but I got to take a picture in front of Stephen King's house, which was kind of cool. You know, everybody tells me that Stephen King's normal, and this is true stories, and I am not kidding about this. So I was, you know, got to pie, like a pie where I was actually got to wear my Kato costume. I'm on a street, I think it's Durham, and I'm with the people in the company, and I'm going like this on the street. I go, wow. This looks like something out of a Stephen King book. So, what's his name? Alan Dingingham, which I actually got to work with a couple times. He's like laughing. I go, what's so funny? He goes, Shelley, Stephen King grew up down the street, and actually down the street further somewhere is a pet cemetery, and that's where he got his idea from, pet cemetery. And I almost, like, pooped my pants right there on set. Okay? I'm going, are you kidding me? Oh, my God. That's exactly what I was thinking. And not that I'm a psychic or anything, but imagine that. And it's like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. And my jaw just dropped. Just, like, totally, totally dropped. I have stories to tell where you just, like, I just think and just, you know, what I think just, like, comes out of my mouth. And I don't even know if I should be careful what I'm saying because I could get myself into trouble going further because I know that all these sexual innuendos, what people are probably going to say after with what I just said, be good. Speaking of being good, you know, the other night, I laugh at this now because I tend to think that people don't like how I run my radio show because, like I said, I mentioned this a little while ago, is that people think that, you know, you can call into a radio show and sit there and argue. This is what people let people do on a radio show, so let them argue, have guests call in, and I don't let people do that. And then the other night, someone brought up the N-word, which I do not like to have talked about on my show. And it just, it had nothing to do, like, I mean, anybody that follows my show has, you know, I'm one of the most respectful, I'm a spaz, but I've always been respectful to guests and stuff, and I had some guy, his name is Joe, and he's, you know, he's always calls in once in a while. He's been one of my supporters since the beginning of my show. We're sitting there talking. And I wanted to give respect to a soldier, an American soldier, that received the Medal of Honor. He lost his right eye, you know, and I says, and I was talking about, you know, how he got the Medal of Honor from Obama. So that's what I mentioned, wanted to give him mentionable honor. And someone was like, mentioned something out of the clear blue to call, and I'm like, dude, why are you bringing up that has nothing to do, like, with what my show is about? So I hung up on the guy, and I can see the numbers in the queue and stuff like that, and he kept trying to call back. And I'm like, dude, I'm not picking up the phone. And he must have been ticked, and I don't care. My show, when I have my guests on, I am not letting any of my guests ever be disrespected on my show. It may have taken me, you know, a longer time to grow an audience, but this is, you know, I'm getting a reputation, a good solid reputation in the stunt community with the Grand Masters and the martial arts and getting on my show. There's no way am I going to let any of them be disrespected. I don't care. Go to Howard Stern or something like that. Listen to their shows. This is not what my show is about. You know, it's how I run my show. Like I said, if people don't like it, you know, they don't have to listen to it. But there's crazies out there, and it's just like, you know what? I decided that when I get my guests on the show and people get out of control when I have my guests on the show, I'll just let my guests keep talking about their life and I won't take calls. And it is, I am protecting my guests. And people will probably be like, well, that's not how you run a radio show. Well, it's my show. And if people don't like it, you can kiss my butt because my guests are not ever going to be disrespected. I don't have fights on my show. I don't care. I mean, look at all the things with reality shows. Yeah, I know. I do know. No one has to tell me. Reality shows, no matter how stupid they are, they get tons of ratings because people watch the show. It's all the fighting stuff. I'm not going to have that on my show. Like I said, it may take me a lot longer, and looked at my stats, over 84,000 people have listened to my show. So I know I have something, and I guess like with Stan Lee, they says, with great power comes great responsibility. I can do something wonderful with my show, and I can give back. Even people in the independent film world, actors and other people that are just starting out and want a little support, I can promote them stuff. When they're first starting out, you know, give them a little promotion of my shows in the archives so they can use it as something to help promote themselves when they're first starting out. So I can give back, and there's nothing wrong with that. A lot of people helped me on my way. So now I'm creating this wonderful domino effect, and then I can bring up charities and foundations. I don't know how good in this world I can do. I really don't know. You know, and the comfortable thing about, you know, radio, it doesn't matter what you look like. And the real truth reality is, you know, I'm no beauty queen. And I know that, you know, it's like I'm not saying that I'm ugly, but the truth is in films, 99% out of 100, I only get, like, be able to be maybe a lead in one film out of 100. It's a true fact is because the writers and stuff, that they're looking for a certain look. And out of society, I do not look like, you know, next girl, you know, Disney girl type. And it's like, in the industry, I am considered ugly. And that is the truth of the matter. It doesn't, you know, it seems like it'd be discouraging, but I am finding people, you know, connecting with people that I've grown up watching. Like, you know, I've gotten in contact with John the Dragon Wilson, James Wilson, Keith Vitale, Stephen Lambert, Douglas Wong. I can listen to people that I've gotten in contact, people that are working in Hollywood, you know, and having conversations with them. So I know that I'm doing something right because I'm in contact with people who I look up to and have had conversations with them. So my show does mean something. And, of course, you know, I mean, I know it's true out there. You know, there's tons and tons of beautiful women. Granted, they're going to get things handed to them. You know, and it's true. I know that they say sex sells and blah, 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 and a lot of women being handed anything, you know, things to them. And maybe I have to work twice as harder. You know, maybe I'm not as hot as the next girl or whatever, and I try. It's because I have a lot of heart. I am an underdog. I mean, look at, you know, maybe I'm not the greatest looking. Maybe, you know, I kind of talk funny. You know, I don't have tons of guys paying things for me, but I'm trying. You know, I think it's kind of a good feeling because I can look in the mirror and say, you know, I'm doing it. I'm doing it my own way. You know, like Frank Sinatra, doing it up my way. And, yeah, things I can do, like get that museum for the Hollywood Hall of Fame. You know, help out foundations. You know, because books fade. After a while, unless you're like, you know, you're going to get plastic surgery because let's face it, And I'm being real. And I'm not discouraging anyone. And, you know, it's like I'm not perfect. I have, you know, things that I have my scars and my flaws. It's, you know, everybody does. And doing a radio show, like I said, I don't have to buy a new outfit. I don't have to put makeup on. I can use the toilet. You won't even know if I'm wiping my butt. This is why I love my radio show, because it's freeing, and I get guests, and I can give back. And so it's this wonderful circle where, you know, even capturing history with these grandmasters, it feels like such an honor, and it's so freeing. And when you sit there and you listen to these people in the martial arts world that are very successful, I mean, the saying is, you know, surround your people that are successful, and that's what I'm doing. And I hope the universe does hear me. I mean, if anybody does want to help sponsor my show, get a contact to me, or like says, if you want a 30-second ad on my show, it's $50, and I have a PayPal account, and just get in touch with me. You know, can't believe 2 hours has gone by so fast. So once again, thank you so much, everyone. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for, you know, listening to my show, supporting my show. Thank you so much, because I think it is a combined effort between my guests, my listeners, and supporters. Without all you, I wouldn't have a show. And hopefully, you know, maybe someday I'll get people like Steven Seagal or other people on my show with the supporters. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And it's like, you know, I am the Bostonian girl that loves ninjas. Yeah! But ninjas really aren't supposed to make sounds, so you can't go hi-ya or anything like that. They're just kind of cool themselves. But anyone, everybody, you know, whoever has a dream out there, just remember, you know, as long as you get that dream going a lot of heart, you have nothing to lose but to keep trying. And once again, I'll be getting great guests, and I'm going to end the show with Unbreakable. And from what I found out, what the song Unbreakable is, it means, I guess, if you're already broken, you can't break here again. And I think this was a little bit of the song, so I'm going to end the show with Cardiac Sound Unbreakable. And they've been working on, you know, making the music happen back in Boston. Everyone, thank you so much for listening to my show, and everyone, have a good day.
I'm unbreakable, can't break what's broken. Gonna shoot the sunroof's open. Let it shine on me, let it rain on down. I'm on my way, you hear the sound.
Unbreakable. Christian on the